I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk, where we ain't scared. My name is A1, and last week's podcast was really good. We talked about why do black people have to just be happy to be here? Why do we have to just be happy to be here? And so far, I've gotten some really interesting text messages, and I appreciate the few people that always send their information to me, thoughts, I should say. And for those who have not heard it, please get on over to Podomatic.com under Society and Culture. You can also find me on iTunes under the category Personal Journals. And weaintscared.com. Get over there, check that out. We set that up for as a nonprofit. We're raising money initially for water filters for the residents of Flint, going through that man-made water disaster, that water crisis, haven't had clean water since April of 2014. It is crazy that that's still going on. So 2018, we will be back doing some fundraising for the residents of Flint, and weaintscaredrecords.com. Let me shout out weaintscaredrecords.com. If you have not been there, go there. We dropped 3 singles this year, and they will all be on the website. So Smoke and Ride, Game Boy, and Truth. Truth speaks a lot to the social issues that are now taking place. They've always taken place, but in particular, the social justice component. So check that out. Also, Black Lives Matter. I always want to make sure I take 10, 15 seconds to shout out Black Lives Matter. All they are saying is Black Life Matters. That's it. And if you cannot support or get behind Black life being important, then you're part of the problem. And that doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, yellow, orange, whatever. You got to respect black life. We gave you life, so you need to respect our life. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And it is, before I do that, want to shout out the Bradford Review as well. They also support this podcast. So Leighton, thanks. All right, so today's topic is the Willie Lynch Letter, The Making of a Slave. The Willie Lynch Letter, The Making of a Slave. Okay, so I have a lot of paper today, so you're going to hear some shuffling, but it's important. Now, some of you have heard me mention the Willie Lynch Letter, not that I created it or was there when it was written. It was in 1712 when it was written, but I felt the need, especially based on the racial climate, to actually dig into this. I think the Colin Kaepernick situation and the protest against police brutality, because that's what it was about, taking that knee, and how the white owners, which are in essence plantation owners, right, of these teams, because they're all white, and you have the predominant majority of the league, 70% I believe are black, and there's been no kind of acknowledgement about Collins' protest and his right to do so. They've really taken on the mentality of plantation owners, where they're trying to make an example out of him. You'll hear more about this, buck busting, making an example. So I just feel like it's time to really dig into the history of this letter. And for those who may be familiar with it, I think you'll hear some things that you might have missed. And for those who have never heard of this letter, this is going to be very enlightening. So I'm going to take my time. It might be a little bit longer than usual, but I'm just going to highlight some things, and I'll try to be as thorough as I can, but also brief at the same time. So let's go ahead and jump into this. I wish I had my Morgan Freeman voice or my James Earl Jones voice, but this is all you get. So let's jump into it. And this is Willie Lynch. This is him speaking. Now, this speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. So that's over 300 years ago. Now, Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in, again, 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners, okay? And that's where the term lynching is derived from. It's actually his last name, right? And for some reason, Marshawn Lynch just popped into my head, right? I mean, I would hate to be a black man, all right, with that name. Not that I don't like Marshawn and not that he could control what his ancestors are, but knowing that I'm certain if he traced his lineage, that it could lead right back to Willie Lynch. Man, that's crazy. So, okay, now this particular speech was given on December 25th, 1712. All right. I mean, the worst Christmas gift ever for black people. So this is where it starts. Gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. Now, let me just say this. I hate the fact that he used God, okay, in his opening comments. It really, really irritates me. And I'll get more into that in just a minute, but let me just continue. I'll try not to interrupt. So he says, thank you. And he says, I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. I'm just going to write down this note here. All right. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. Rome. Think about it. Rome, Caligula, sick, twisted, evil. Okay, just to continue. As our boat sailed south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, and I just have to, you know, stop here for just a moment and just say the Bible. Right. There's a lot of people that are listening and they're going to hear that and they're going to say, see, the Bible was used as a way of employing, you know, punishment and control. Let me just say this. Just because a carpenter uses his hammer to kill does not mean the original purpose of that hammer is null and void. OK. And again, that's for those people that say the Bible should not be trusted, especially by black people, right? It's a way of manipulating or manipulation, okay? So just keep that in mind. All right, so moving on. He goes on to say, you're not only losing valuable stock by lynchings or hangings, you're having uprisings. Slaves are running away. Your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit. All right. You suffer occasional fires. Your animals are killed. So he's trying to, paint this picture that they're in desperate states. You know, they're desperate for help. Then he goes on to say, I'm not here to enumerate on your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. And I guarantee, now listen to this. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. 300 years, right? So he says he uses fear, distrust, and envy for control. And these methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. He goes on to say, on top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, size of plantation, size of platitude, or plantations, I'm sorry, and the status on the plantations. All right. Now, the attitude of the owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, whether the slave has fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now, it goes on to say, distrust is stronger than trust, and envy is stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years. Now, this is the scary part. He goes on to say, maybe thousands. Now, he, as it continues, don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male, okay? You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves, and the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. You must also have your white servants and overseers distrust all blacks. Now, it's necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love and respect and trust only us. The two people that come to mind immediately, Ray Lewis and Jim Brown, but I'll continue. Have your wives and children use them. Never miss an opportunity. If used intensely for 1 year, this is crazy. If used intensely for 1 year, the slaves themselves will remain perpetually distrustful of each other. And that's exactly what's happening. 1 year turned into 400 and counting. Now, some listeners may hear that and say, well, if black people know that this is what has happened, how come you just don't change? Or stop the behavior? The answer to that is it's not that easy. First of all, black people have to acknowledge that it's brainwashing. Then we can start the change. Now, the issue is most black people don't even believe or have a real understanding of what has been done to us, believe it or not. There's a lot of black people walking around unaware. So there's a lot of factors. Okay, so the letter goes on to say, conscious of the injustice and wrong that they were every hour perpetuating and knowing what they themselves, meaning the white slave owners, would do. Were they the victims of such wrongs? They were constantly looking for the first signs of dreaded retribution. So in short, they studied the slaves' reactions to the abuse to determine which slaves might rebel or run away or worse, seek revenge, which we know happened, a la Nat Turner, one of the slave rebellions. As it continues, let us make a slave, okay? What do we need? First of all, we need a black. Now, I'm going to warn you, there's going to be some language, just so you know. So you have, you know, anyone in the car or wherever you are, there's children nearby, just know that there will be some language, all right? So first of all, we need a black nigger man and a pregnant nigger woman and her body, okay? And her baby, a nigger boy, preferably. So the common denominator in this is men and boy, all right? Second, we'll use the same basic principle that we use in breaking a horse combined with some more. So they're using animal tactics on humans, So it goes on to say, we break the natural string of independence from them and thereby create a dependency status. So that is the beginning of the process. Now, it goes on to say, we understand that short-range planning economics results in periodic economic chaos. So, to avoid that turmoil in the economy, it requires us to have breadth and depth and long-range comprehensive planning, articulating both skill-sharp perceptions. I mean, he's making this sound like this is a business plan, right? Like this is some kind of mutual fund. And this is how 4 to 5 southern states created 85 to 95% of the U.S. wealth from cotton for hundreds of years. Okay, so it continues. We lay down the following principles for long-range comprehensive economic planning. All right, both the horse and niggers is no good to the economy in the wild or natural state. Both must be broken and tied together. Okay, I mean, again, sick and twisted. So their goal is psychological and physical warfare. All right. So it goes on to say, you cannot rest, all right? They sleep while you are awake and are awake while you sleep. Basically, make sure you always know where they are and what they're doing, okay? Hence, again, both the horse and the nigger must be broken. That is, breaking them from one form of mental life to another. Keep the body, take the mind. In other words, break the will to resist. All right, so it goes on. And this is another critical piece that was used against us. And this is if you break the female mother. She will break the offspring in its early years of development. And when the offspring is old enough to work, she will deliver it to you. For her normal female protective tendencies will have been lost in the original breaking process. Train the female horse, whereby she will eat out of your hand, and she will in turn train the infant horse to eat out of your hand also. All right, so it goes on. Take the meanest and most restless nigger, strip him of his clothes in front of the remaining male niggers, the female and the nigger infant, tar and feather him. Tie each leg to a different horse, faced in opposite directions. Set him on fire and beat both horses to pull him apart in front of the remaining niggers. Cruel. Absolutely cruel. All right. To continue. Don't kill him, but put the fear of God in him, for he can be useful for future breeding. You know, another term for that, or another tactic was buck busting, or basically raping the strongest black slave in front of all the other slaves to send a message that if I can do this to the strongest of you, what can I do to the weakest, right? All right, let's keep it moving. It goes on to say, we have reversed the relationship in the female nigger, their natural civilized state. She would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male, and she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring and would raise the male offsprings to be dependent like her. Wow. Okay. With the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to move from her psychological dependence state to a frozen independent state. And it's in this frozen psychological state of independence that she will raise her male and female offspring in reversed roles. Now listen to this. Check this out. because I want you to understand what it means when it says reversed roles. Okay, for fear of the young male's life, she, the female slave, will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong. Okay, and in reverse, for the female babies, she will train her offspring to be psychologically independent. Okay, so what have you got? You've got the nigger woman out front and the nigger man behind and scared, right? But we know here we ain't scared. So the whole goal when they implemented that was it emasculated and took the power out of the natural male instinct to protect. And that was the breaking process. And he goes on to say, now we can sleep soundly. Okay. For out of frozen fear, his woman stands guard for us. So basically the black woman against the black man to protect the white plantation owner. And we're almost done here. By creating a submissive, dependent mind of the nigger male slave, we have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever, unless a phenomenon occurs and reshifts the position of the male and female slaves. All right, so we're almost toward the end here. One thing I did want to point out, crossbreeding. Okay. Crossbreeding, and what they did was it was to completely annihilate the mother tongue of both the new nigger and the new mule and institute a new language. So that's when they basically beat us for speaking our own language. They only wanted us to understand English, and they didn't allow us to really read and write. So it handicapped us. We didn't understand what was going on. So therefore, lack of education, further down the line continues to hamper our progress. All right, so he goes on to say, you have to be careful in setting up this new language for the slaves, which soon be in your house talking to you man to man. And that is death to our economic system. So he did not want us educated because he knew if we understood the language, we would be able to converse man to man. And this is which, you know, in my opinion, this is why the U.S. refuses to apologize for U.S. slavery. They don't want to talk man to man with black people, with black men. And again, boycott the NFL. You're going to talk man to man to me. I'm sacrificing my body. I don't care how much money I'm making. God, the contracts aren't guaranteed. All right. So that is pretty much a summary, right? And you can go online. And you can look up the Willie Lynch letter. It's you just type in Willie Lynch letter and you can learn more about it. You can get more in depth. I couldn't cover it all. I know time is always pressing, but this is something that has to be continued to, it has to be said. There are long-term side effects, and black people have got to understand this. White people have got to know this as well, because there's going to be this constant push-pull in America. White people want to hold, white America wants to hold on to this power. Black people are saying, no, you need to let it go. We need to share the power. Okay, well, I want to thank you for checking out another podcast of Ferocious Talk. You got some good food for thought. My name is A1, and we ain't scared.